S-R-N.
Okay, so let's all open up our reading is fun books to page 69.
69.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the most you ever lost in a coin toss?
Sir?
The most you ever lost in a coin toss.
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
Oh, God, I was going to kill
him. Erica! Erica!
Erica!
Erica! Erica! Erica! Erica! Erica!
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star!
Hey, Stella!
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Your milkshake. I drink it up.
You are now listening to Cinema Press 37.
Yes, thank you for downloading episode 69 of Cinema Press 37. I'm your host. Hey, hey there, relax. A little bit of maturity, please. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out. With the one and only Drew Sikagaber. And Drew, how's it going? Dude?
What's up, bro? How's it going?
Doing all right.
It's episode 69, man. You feel naughty?
I don't know what you're talking about.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 5th be with you. For those of you downloading this on May the 5th. May the 6th be with you for those of you downloading on the 6th.
Are you drinking a 5th?
If you're drinking a 5th on the 5th, may the 5th be with you.
The 5th is always with me, bro.
Tell you it's May the 4th.
Yes. It's International Star Wars Day or something. Not weird, stupid nonsense like that, isn't it?
Maybe. Something.
Something.
Maybe something like it. Maybe we'll have something a little Star Wars related.
Perchance.
We'll talk about.
If. Maybe.
It's possible.
Whoa!
It's possible that we might have a little Star Wars shit to. And I would have thought it was coincidental, May the 4th weekend, May the 4th be with you, Star Wars news, but...
Yeah.
No, you pointed out to me that that's not, that was done on purpose by marketing geniuses.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, so good job. Did I introduce you?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Drew Sikagaber?
Uh-huh. Yeah. This guy right here.
They give you one of those?
That's me. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you did.
Have one of these.
I'm still not comfortable with that, Chris. I mean... I used to joke around in high school, stuff like that.
Would you really?
Now that I'm older, yeah. That makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
You feel like a disgusting, horrible person.
Well, I've
you come, are a disgusting
exactly.
Person,
I've come to realize that in my old age. It's not, you know, I am just a terrible person on the inside.
Okay, well you know, as long as you realize it, then we're good to go. Well, then we're solid.
Yeah, totally.
All right, well, let's. I'm going to go ahead and get this started here because I'm like monitoring it. Just get that music going. Because I want to talk about before we do our Netflix instant pick of the week, like we do every week, before the box office recap, our movie reviews, before we really do, you know, the show that we normally do, want to give a shout out.
Shout out.
Because this person requested. I know, I don't normally do this, right? It's a very 90s thing to do.
It is.
But throwing out a shout out to Twitter, at I am. Closet Geek. Check him out. He's a cool guy. Quick little story. Funny story.
Okay.
I am Closet Geek. This feller and me, we've been following each other on the Twitter. Our accounts, we've been following for a few years now.
Uh-huh.
Ever since I was on SBK Live.
Friends in the Twitter sphere?
Friends in the Twitter sphere through SBK Live, the radio show, 104.1 Real Radio, when I was on there on Monday nights. I did that for a couple years.
Yes.
Right. And that's when a lot of people started following me on Twitter. I followed them back.
You know, funny thing about that?
Funny thing about that, Drew?
I never listened to you on the radio.
You never supported me
on
that show?
Nope, never.
You
listened
to the show every now and then, but not when I was on it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And the only time I did listen for you was the last time you were on.
You're son of a bitch.
I know, I am.
So anyway,
But to make it up to you, I did this to make it up.
Which
to
is
you,
helping,
Chris.
Yes, yeah. That's a weekly support. I appreciate that. To make up for that. This is episode 69. We're doing this now 69 weeks. That was almost a year and a half ago that SBK Live, as that show ended,
mm-hmm.
right? So I reconnected with this guy. I haven't talked to him in a while. I reconnected with him this week, and he's like, "Hey, man, you know, you're the whatever. Pretty much what happened to the SBK Live." Like the movie Chain Game, we need to bring that back to the podcast, the SBK podcast.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, and I want to, and I got to get a shout out, you know. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll give you a shout out on my show this weekend. Mm-hmm. I just put it that way.
Yeah.
And then he responded back, like, you have a show? I didn't know you have a show. Like, he follows me on Twitter.
And everything.
This is the SBK Live show.
Apparently.
I'm on that show every now and then still.
I was about to say, and not only that, for a very long time, they were recording from the Cinema Crespo Diso Studios. They said it every freaking episode.
That's true. So my point is, and I'm not like blaming the guy for anything or putting him, I'm just saying it happens.
Yeah.
It's happened to me before where I've. There's one show I can think of where I saw the name of it over and over for a few months because it involved people that I followed and I liked,
mm-hmm.
but I never put two and two together. Like this entity thing is a new show over here that I could be listening to separately.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is kind of weird that could happen. So my point is, hey, if you're listening to the show, you like us, you like what we're doing, right? Mm-hmm. You're supporting Drewster and myself. Don't take it for granted thinking that everyone else knows who we are.
Most people do not.
Help us, please. Get the word out there. Let people know. Hey, remember that guy? They're doing that thing.
The people who are listening, they're the 1%, Chris.
You are the guys that
They're the only people that know about us.
So since you're the people that know about us, what we need you to do is to then, to all these other people that are around you and on the Twitter and on the Facebook, social media, in real life and in the fake life on the internet, you got to let them know that we're here. We're here for your entertainment every week. And also sort of consumer reporting in a way.
That's exactly what we're doing. We're doing consumer reports for movies. We're trying to tell you. I mean, we do. We definitely have a bias, Chris.
Do we have a bias?
We definitely have a bias towards. I don't know. There are certain types of movies that we're more inclined to enjoy.
We have our tastes.
Uh huh.
Yes. Yes. Every person's going to be inclined towards their own taste. Absolutely.
Exactly.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So we got some people. Shout out to I Am Closet Geek. Shout out to anyone else who wants one. Please let everyone know. Check us out. Download the show. Share it with your friends. Facebook. All that stuff, right?
Movies are cool. We talk movies.
Movies are cool. We talk movies and other stuff as well.
So does that make us cool? Man, I hope not. I've never tried to be cool, Chris. I can't, like.
You can't try to be cool.
I know. It's weird. Exactly.
Cool. No, you're a hipster doofus.
I don't want to be. Oh. I want to be that guy.
Well, not a hipster doofus, though. No, that word's been changed. That word's changed.
I don't have any thick black rim glasses.
You're not that style hipster doofus. You're a 90s era hipster doofus. Think Kramer on Seinfeld.
The original. The proto-hipster.
Okay, here we go. Well, let's get the show started. How does that sound?
Okay.
For realsies this time. Netflix instant pick
it. Only if you promise to never say that phrase again.
Can't promise that because sometimes we have to get shows started.
That's fine. Just don't say for realsies.
Oh, that one. I thought you were talking about.
Yeah. Don't say that.
I didn't even realize I said that.
Don't say that ever again.
Okay. I can't make that promise, but I will try my damnedest not to say that phrase
you do
ever
that,
again.
Please.
I will.
Thank you.
There wasn't a word that offended you so much, so.
It's just, it's bad, dude.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Well,
you sound like a 20-something-year-old girl.
A 20-something-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Better than sounding like a teenage girl.
I don't know what teenage girls sound like anymore. And that's good. It's a good thing because I'm 30. I'm not supposed to know.
Yeah, I mean, you could watch.
No.
What's.
Nope.
Pretty Little Liars?
Uh-uh.
Some ABC Family?
I'm pretty sure that would make me a perv.
Would it?
Yes.
Or maybe you're just. you're just a sociological observer. You just want to see what the other half looks like.
Sure. If you say so, Chris. If that's how you rationalize it to yourself, buddy, that's cool.
I'm going to get that Netflix warmed up there. There we go. Let's see what this week's Netflix pick of the week is. It gets all jumbled up. It gets all warm. Every week we do a different pick. Last week, what was last week? Last week was...
I think it was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Last week was Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and then a few days later... Rest in peace, Bob Hoskins.
So terrible.
Brutal. Died at the age of 71 of pneumonia. Not a pretty way to go. Sorry to hear that. Hey, guys, especially you older gentlemen, if you feel a cold coming on, get that shit checked out. Don't try to tough through it, you know?
Yeah, seriously. You don't want to call Bob Hoskins.
Or Henson, right?
Yeah. You know, curse of the H's.
Man. Or that one president that did his inaugural parade in the rain.
Yeah.
And then he died 20 days later, shortest presidential.
Who was that guy?
Was that Warren? That wasn't Warren G. Harding.
I have no idea.
No. So are we good on Netflix on Pick of the Week?
Yes, sir.
What do we got?
Swimming with Sharks.
All right. That's a bit of an indie classic, if I do say so, from I'm going to take a guess on this one. 97.
Four.
Ay, caramba. 94. That's the same year as Pulp Fiction. That 20 years old, this movie. That's incredible. Starring Kevin Spacey.
Uh-huh.
Obviously 20 years younger.
Looking
dapper.
Yes, looking, yeah.
He plays an agent, like a movie agent of some sort, I think. And some dude, a young guy, he's tired of being picked on and being pushed around. And, he ends up taking him hostage. And it just gets crazy.
Benicio Del Toro's in the movie, apparently.
He has a very small role as one of the co-workers. He may be in, like, two scenes. And of course, since he's Benicio del Toro, he was really trying to get himself noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So everything he did, he had to throw something in there. Like when he did The Usual Suspects, when he did the rehearsal and he started using that crazy accent,
uh-huh.
They were like, are you going to
do that the whole time?
Is this really how you're going to talk? I mean, is this what...
Yes, yes, I am.
It's like, this is what I feel like. same thing with Swimming with Sharks. He did like this really fey, over the top thing, and... It's Benicio del Toro, man.
He's a weirdo.
He's a weirdo. Lovely guy.
He's a strange dude.
Lovingly weird. It's a very good movie. Really well done. It's part of that indie film revival, kickstart of the early to mid 90s that Tarantino is pretty much credited with, giving real juice, real life. Because one of his movies made of words and money, then studios are like, oh, we can put money in these little independent movies.
A little bit of money.
So all these studios, they came up with all these independent
sidearms.
Yes, yes, yes. And they were, for a while, they were thriving. And but in like the last 10 years or so, most of them have closed up, especially since the big crash of 2008.
Yes.
No, they say the movie business is pretty much recession proof, but it's not really. Like a lot of studios shut down, a lot of the small ones, a lot of divisions shut down after 2008, and a lot of people lost that money. A lot of people ain't making movies no more.
Yep.
They're teaching somewhere, or they're secretaries now, or who knows? What do you do after? Where do you go from there?
Well, if you not did, your, I not, mean,
some
if
of them
you did,
personal trainers.
If you did stuff smart, maybe you got a little money set aside, and you. I mean, granted, maybe your company didn't survive it, but maybe you did.
Interesting. Gave yourself a golden parachute.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. As long as you're good to go, screw the rest. Swimming with Sharks. There you go. Bring it all back around. Boom. So, right, there you go. Swimming with Sharks. Great pick. Netflix, good job. Give you one of those. Congratulations, Netflix machine.
Nah.
All right.
A good little machine.
So, let's look at that. What do you call it there? That box office. Let's do the box office review. Every week we check out the
review.
The review. We check out the top five from this weekend box office wise. We crunch the numbers. So and we're gonna see who won the weekend. Who's the big winner? Who's the big money winner? Because apparently that's important to people.
All right.
So where do you want to start, Drew?
We're going to start number 32.
The top five starts at number
32. Top five starts at 32.
Love it.
Jodorowsky's Dune. Ooh. With it made a whopping $45,900 for a grand total of $460.6.
Okay, but it's only playing on 60 screens throughout the
61.
Country. And they just added
20.
So
probably one of them was the one that we saw it at.
So massive expansion this weekend.
Yeah.
The one that we saw it as was indeed one of the new theaters. We saw it at the AMC Altamont. Weird theater to be getting, right? That's where we saw it. Right?
Yeah.
Weird theater to be getting a one-off like that. Did we really see it over there? No, we didn't.
No, it was a Winter Park.
Winter Park. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
They have Winter Park. They have weird documentaries and foreign films. And
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
They put you in a tiny theater in the
tiniest
back.
Ever.
All the way in the back corner, tucked away. with a tiny little screen. However, they did make sure to crank up the sound all day.
It was so awesome.
So I do appreciate
that. It was the greatest documentary about the greatest sci-fi movie that was never made.
Yeah, this is a compendium of things for sure. First off, the subject is fascinating.
Oh my God, it's so fascinating. It's like, I still want to know more. Like, I want to know all of it, man. I want to know, you know, because even like at the end of the movie when they talked about like the post stuff, like when blah, 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 you know, when all these guys went off to do Alien together.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it won all this critical acclaim and blah, 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 blah. You know, I would have loved to have seen those guys' reaction. Like, for those guys, was Alien there, you know, finally, you know, we all work well together. Let's do something. Was this... You know, was like, that their thing? Is that how they felt about it?
How exactly that came about.
Yeah.
You can find some of that info on the special features of... Actually, it makes me want to go back and watch the special feature stuff.
Of Alien.
Because
I know,
it's very, very thorough.
Yeah.
Including interviews with both writer Dan O'Bannon and insane and obviously tortured artist H.R. Giger. And, I want to go back and, like, they... Dune come up and I miss it?
Yeah, no, seriously. Because, I mean, I'm not...
Maybe it was a passing reference. I was working on Dune and I met this guy.
Does anybody even know about this?
You mean in terms of the public?
Yes. Does anybody even know that...
No, because people...
That Jodorowsky tried to make Dune and it got as far as it did? Or is this, like, breaking news?
Let's set up... I don't think they do. So let's set up what this documentary even is. Because I think people are a little confused after the last couple minutes there.
Yeah.
Right. It's called Jodorowsky's Dune.
Correct.
A lot of people know what Dune is.
Yes. If you know what Dune is, it's exactly what you think it is. You know, think the movie.
Science fiction.
David Lynch's Dune.
There was also a TV show.
Yeah.
Which I believe was more successful than the movie.
All based on a book.
All based on the book. Frank Herbert, or as the French call it, Hoba. Okay, so you got Dune. That's one aspect of the title. Dune.
Yes.
Boom. What's that first part? Jodorowsky. That sounds weird and foreign and alien to my ear.
It's all of those things.
It's hurting my American brain. What's this Jodorowsky?
But if you know some stuff about some strange-ass foreign films like I do, you may have seen The Holy Mountain, which I have.
Yeah, so. The Holy Mountain of movies. Alejandro Jodorowsky is a filmmaker from the 60s and 70s, and he was part of the Surrealist movement, and... His movies weren't so much movies made for, like, escapism, entertainment, as they were for, like, spiritual...
Awakening.
Awakening and, like, artistic, you know, really heavy artistic reasons. And you would almost say pretentious if you didn't see, you know, Jodorowsky. The way Jodorowsky explains it doesn't come across as pretentious.
No, he's trying... It sounds like... I mean, he said it himself in the documentary. He's trying to bring some sort of spiritual messiah to the people.
Well, with Dune, yeah. We'll get to that in a second for sure. So Jodorowsky is a very experimental filmmaker who, when he made a Western, he made El Topo. Did you ever see that one?
I haven't seen El Topo. Makes me want to see... Watching this documentary makes me want to... rewatch The Holy Mountain.
Yeah.
And then...
I wish I saw Holy Mountain first and then El Topo. Mm-hmm. He made El Topo first and then Holy Mountain. Holy Mountain is much weirder and stranger. I wish I had saw El Topo first because it makes...
A little bit more sense.
It makes Holy Mountain easier to digest where it's coming from, right? So El Topo, when he makes a Western, it's not just a normal Western. It's like a complete subversion of the Western. Everything is insane and crazy and weird. So he was going to take that approach to Dune when he had a chance to make whatever he wanted. He was going to make Dune, and this whole movie, Jodorowsky's Dune, is about him putting together his team and his ideas and the art and all that awesome shit and making his Bible, his movie Bible, which appeared to be...
Huge.
Would you call that 2,000 pages?
Easily, and I want it. I want a copy of it on the table right here, right now. I want it.
It does look like the world's greatest coffee table book, absolutely. It's an hour and a half movie, hour and a half documentary, and most of it's about them trying to make the movie.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, how it all falls apart.
Yes.
And then what happens to a lot of the material and the people.
And just the ideas from it, and how even though, you know, this movie never really got made, a lot of the thematic elements and visual things that Jodorowsky wanted to do
made it into other movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and movies like Star Wars and, you know, popular movies.
Terminator, like, that stuff.
Yeah, because that Dune book got around.
Yeah. People definitely saw it and drew inspiration from it.
For sure. They had copies of it.
Yeah.
Because some of it was like Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know?
No.
Straight up. I mean, like, psh.
Mm-hmm.
What's been the show mantra for a while?
Amateurs create professional steel.
We need to get that on a shirt with like, the Crespo logo underneath it. But the Crespo logo has to be straight up take the Warner Brothers.
Chanel logo, like I did.
Oh, the Chanel logo. Yeah, that's right.
I've already done it, Chris.
You've already stolen shit.
I've already straight up stolen things.
Boom.
Yeah.
We are pros at this shit.
Of course, yeah, dude.
Oh man. So then the movie explores him, like, it's so funny how everywhere he turned for every aspect of the movie, he happened to come across pretty much like the best person possible at that time.
Yeah.
People that either were already legendary or would go on to prove themselves to be legendary in what they do. He's like
young H.R. Geiger.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up, bro? How's it going? I've seen some of your work. What do you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dan O'Bannon, a couple years before he wrote Alien.
Yeah.
And then, because Alien's what really got him, you know, got him going. And then obviously he wanted to work with Pink Floyd. This was like a few months before they did Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, yeah. And they were all like, okay, yeah, totally, we'll do this.
Yeah, yeah. Just one of the bands. And then that French band. What was that?
Magma.
They were cool.
I've never heard of
Magma. They seemed pretty awesome. They were going to do like the evil planet that H.R. Giger was going to design and shit. And it was all this confluence of great artists.
You mean did design?
He did design it. And all that stuff got used in movies.
Yeah, I mean, dude, the big fat mountain thing from Prometheus is the big. It's the big fat mountain thing from Dune.
That's insane.
Yeah,
and then
that blew my mind.
Mobius, the French artist.
Yeah,
Mobius got to work with that dude and incredible. And then the who's that one guy? Like Chris something, the guy who did the those crazy looking all the book covers with the crazy looking spaceships.
Oh
all
man,
the
yeah,
on
that
them.
That guy from the UK.
They almost look like they were made
with the pirate spaceship that was leaking all the spice.
And then the way they animate those pictures, and
dude.
Stuff.
When they did the intro,
the opening shot,
just from those half drawn stills.
What was that? Like a 5 minute opening sequence?
I want the whole movie like that. I will pay to see the whole movie just in half drawn stills.
Yeah, yeah. just animate the storyboards.
Yeah, yeah. I will pay to see that.
Because the way they did it was incredible.
So good.
It was incredible the way they pulled that off. Yeah, and they did that a few times. So a few sequences, they animate the sequences straight from the storyboards, and it's very compelling. These little sequences, and I mean. I wish I could see Jodorowsky's Dune.
I want to see
the real one, the movie.
No, but
I wish I could just read the book.
But like they said, you know, if they had made Jodorowsky's Dune, then, you know,
so many,
chances are
that
all of these other things would not have happened.
I was actually thinking that during the movie at one point.
Because it predates them all.
Yeah, you know, exactly. It was 74, 75.
And,
right?
And it would have done shit that The Matrix pulled on and The Terminator 2 pulled on and the Alien, you know, like we talked about Alien, all the people that went on to do Alien.
I was thinking.
That was the creative team minus Jodorowsky.
Like, O'Bannon wrote Alien after Dune fell apart. Like, if Dune succeeded, who knows what he would have done.
Alien.
Probably not. Someone else would have gone on. Ridley Scott was working on that. He would have done it with someone else.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have brought H.R. Giger with him.
Nope.
Because that's the connection to Alien.
Exactly. So the aliens would not look the way they would.
No, because those
assuming it was even made, it would nowhere near be the same movie because they wouldn't have been designed by Giger.
It would have been that the movie really would have changed the way.
I mean, there'd be no.
It would have changed. There would have been that no were made
Flash
and the
Gordon.
Way movies were
I mean,
made.
Yeah.
Oh man, it would have cost $15 million at the time in '74, which is astronomical amount of money at that time.
So
for a director who at that point had not made a movie that showed any sign of having commercial potential at all, but Dune with that one,
it would have. But we would be living in a completely different world, Chris.
This world would be different. He wanted to make a movie that would have changed
the world. It would have changed the
world.
That's
what makes it so compelling.
It would have changed the world.
He
because
believed,
all,
so much
all of the parts of his movie that have gone on to change the world, they have changed the world, but just in a very slower pace than, you know, this boom one shot.
He described everyone on the film was a warrior.
Spiritual warrior, a spiritual Chris. Warrior. Not just a warrior, a spiritual warrior.
He turned down working with, like, Douglas Trumbo.
Yeah,
Trumbo,
the guy from 2001.
Because he was like, yeah, just sees the money. He's a technician. Oh, man, so compelling. Would have loved to have seen what would have ended up happening. But it never happened.
Nope.
But we got this great documentary, though, which, you know what? Second best thing.
Yeah.
So, hey.
And I need to find a way to get a hold of that fucking book. I want the book.
The book, you gotta.
I want it.
At the end, he was like, someone animate this. He's like, come on.
No, I do.
Someone do something.
When
with
he
this.
Said that, he's like, after I die, someone can animate this. I was just thinking to myself, I need to make a lot of money right now.
You're like, I got this.
I will do this. I will be the one who forks up the cash for this. It will have me. I will be the guy.
Yeah, one day.
Dude, let's start a Kickstarter.
Let's kickstart a Kickstarter. We need a Kickstarter account.
We need to
get a Kickstarter account to fund ours enough to start a Kickstarter.
Yes, and then we need a Kickstarter to fund Jodorowsky's Dune. We can
the comic book.
We'll have to talk to Jodorowsky. Maybe he can.
Is he
dead?
No,
not dead yet.
No. Like the movie pointed out, he just released a movie last year at the Cannes Film Festival.
We should talk to him. Maybe tell him to get a Kickstarter. If he can get the Kickstarter going, I'm sure we can get real.
Or maybe a GoFundMe.
Anything.
We're an Indiegogo.
I want it to happen. I want to see it.
Yeah,
I want to see it with my own eyes.
Well, in the meantime, people, go see Jodorowsky's Dune. Definitely worth seeing in a theater, even though it's a documentary.
Oh, totally.
Because
worth
of
it.
Some of those sequences,
yeah.
And with the music, like the theater, the music was cranking. And it's like, actually, the soundtrack was really good for that movie.
Yeah,
so I wonder how much of that was like Magma and stuff. And,
I don't know.
But, anyways, yeah, Jodorowsky's Dune. See it, people.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, just whatever the next showing is, yeah. Just go see it. That simple. All right, it's stormed through the top five to get to the number one.
All right, well, number five, Rio 2, 7.6 million, total of 106.
Yeah,
still haven't seen it.
That's how many weeks has that one been out now?
Four.
4 weeks. That's not too hot here, but it's 286 international, so 393 worldwide. Don't cry for me, Brasilia, Rio 2, that would be just fine.
Yeah, number four, Captain America the Winter Soldier, 7.76 million. Total of 237.1 on a budget of 170.
I've been saying 250 to 275. Looks like it's going to get closer to about 250, 260. It's at 670 worldwide, though. So, again,
yeah.
Disney's fine. Disney's happy. Marvel's happy. They're moving on. They're planning Captain America 3.
Yep.
Good for them.
Number three, Heaven is for Real, 8.7 million. Total gross is 65.6 on a budget of 12.
They did add over 200 screens to this one to soften the drop. So, hey, on a $12 million budget, pretty damn good, guys. Heaven's for Real 2. Here we go.
Number two, The Other Woman, 14.2 million. Total gross of 47. Budget of 40.
Oh, riding at Cassavetes. Hope this makes enough money for you to do something interesting next.
And, of course, number one movie of the weekend Amazing Spider-Man Dose. Weekend gross of 92 mil, same as the total. Budget of probably very large.
Oh, it's got to be at least 150 minimum.
Yeah.
Right?
Got to be.
So, at just over 90 million, it's definitely one of the best debuts of the year. But when it comes to Spider-Man movies, do you remember when the first Spider-Man movie came out with Tobey Maguire?
I vaguely remember. I don't remember how much it made.
Oh, you don't?
No.
You don't remember that was the first movie to make $100 million over 3 days?
Oh, it was?
It was.
That was the one?
Spider-Man 1. That was the one, if you ask me, to kickstart that.
Yeah.
Movies can make a shit ton of money really fast.
Uh-huh.
Thing that people, you know, hey, this is fun. That,
yeah.
You know, people like to contribute to. So the first Spider-Man, over $100 million. That's a dangerous precedent for all sequels to come for Spider-Man and other comic book movies.
Which is odd because I like these Spider-Man movies more than I like the first ones.
Yeah, right. I think so. Mm. Now, it's already come out international. It's been out for a couple weeks international. So it's already made $277 million.
In 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks. It puts that $490 million total, almost half a million dollars. Movie just came out.
Yeah.
It's already $500 million.
Half a billion.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. I read these numbers wrong. The first one, $490 million international. This one's going to do more than that.
Yeah.
It's kind of about how much does it make.
Well, it's got to do. It's of course, it's going to do more international. The guy's British. Spider-Man's a Brit.
He is a Brit. Now, they do have next weekend there isn't a big release next weekend. Next weekend's a comedy.
Uh-huh.
So they have 1 week open where they don't have to battle for screens and for eyeballs.
Yeah.
So they got like a 2 week run pretty much where they can make a lot of money, and then it's going to start dropping once Godzilla comes out.
Of course.
And then after that, X-Men comes out, and then there are people who forgot about Spider-Man by then.
Spider-Man don't care anymore.
We'll talk more about that, stuff like that, and the whole summer domino effect during our summer guide episode. Hey, depending on when you download this episode, it may be already up there. So why don't you go and download that and listen to that shit, yo. Because I'm sure it was entertaining.
Yeah, probably.
Even though
I hope so.
Even though we've done it in the future. I like to say it in the past tense, though. We've already done it in the future.
We have done it in the future.
Yeah, it's done. We just have to do it. So Spider-Man 2, money-wise, you know, they always want to, obviously, you always want to be making more money.
Well, yeah.
They want to be making at least $100 million with the Spider-Man movie opening weekend, but then again, international keeps getting bigger and bigger, so they should be fine.
Well, that and, I mean, there's still a superhero movie in theaters. Captain America's still out there.
Captain America is still out there for the stragglers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In retrospect, smart on Disney and Marvel for putting out Captain America a full month before his summer rush.
Yeah.
Making all that money. They had April all to themselves. Yeah. Pretty much. Good for them. Very smart.
It
would not have made that much money
during the summer. And they made $240 million. So. Yeah.
Very smart. Okay, so Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man. Dose.
Dose.
Let's get into it. We don't want to... I'm just going to put this out there up front. Okay. People that have been listening to the show to us for a while, there's a good amount of people that have been listening since day one. Mm-hmm. They know your thing with Spider-Man movies
yes.
and how there's a certain thing that you've been wanting.
Yeah, well, there's...
And we're not going to say what it is.
Yes, there is a certain thing...
That you feel like that they've been fucking up for a while. That they've introduced, that they've dangled, and they've never done.
Yeah.
They've dangled it and have never done.
Yes, literally have dangled it.
Right.
Literally.
Okay. So some of you people know what that is.
Yes.
Some of you other people who are comic book geeks already, but haven't seen this movie yet, that's possible. Some of you are sick of these movies. Some of you who are comic book geeks know what happens when the elements of Spider-Man...
And Gwen Stacy.
And Gwen Stacy and the Clock Tower. When you put those elements together, you know what happens.
Yes.
Okay. We're not going to say what happens. But it's something that made Drew very happy, apparently.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's kind of
spoiler alert to people that
up.
Know what Drew wants.
Yeah.
It is kind of messed up, but...
It is, but I got what I wanted.
Drew just wants fidelity.
That's all I'm looking for. A little bit
of fidelity.
I just want a little bit of truth, you know, because it's, for me, you know, it's one of those things. It's a very important story arc.
Because it makes the next thing happen. It makes... I want to throw something else in there because it makes another thing that they've done make more sense because they're going to build on it later.
Yep.
So why introduce it early? Because they got to get this done first.
Yeah.
Is that vague enough for you people? Anyway. I don't like spoiling things for people.
The
movie just came out.
Yeah, it did.
When it hits DVD, we'll go gung-ho on it.
Mm-hmm. And, totally.
So anyway, that being said, I want to get that off the top. Drew.
Uh-huh.
Spider-Man 2. What'd you think?
I thought...
The one with Doc Ock and Tobey Maguire.
I was a little...
this one.
I thought that it was going to be, you know, a problem with villain overload.
They were teasing three villains.
Yes, and there were.
They were marketing three villains in this movie.
And there were three villains in the movie, but they weren't... I mean, there was really only one main villain.
There was one main villain.
There was another villain that you knew it was coming.
You knew he was in it. But they were separate. They never worked.
Correct.
They worked together, but never
but
not against Spider-Man. Not as a team.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't like some Spider-Man 3 shit.
Yeah. And then, you know, the third villain was almost, like you said, a cameo. He made...
I heard it was a cameo, but it was even more than that. Although, 10 minutes with the movie closing out as the movie was ending, I was realizing, wait a second, I think they've shown us the final shot of this movie in all the trailers.
And they did. Yeah.
And then when that happened, I was like...
That's the last shot.
Like, that's a really awesome, like, final sequence and shot. Yeah. But...
whatever.
You've shown it to me, like, a million times.
Uh-huh.
Plus, it does the thing where... It sort of closes out this story, but it closes out this story very quickly and in order to just tease the next movie.
Yes.
It's a Back to the Future... 2 type ending.
Yeah.
You know when they made Back to the Future originally? Was it back? Yeah. Yeah, when they made Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scene where Doc Brown shows up, it's like, your kids, you know, all that shit. That wasn't in the original release of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because it wasn't originally going to be a sequel.
Yeah.
And then the movie was a smash hit.
Mm-hmm.
So they shot that like a year later and tacked it onto home release.
Ah.
And I think they might have even re-released it in theaters with that ending. And
okay.
Then, and then tacked it onto all the home video at the time. Yeah. That's when home video was starting.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They retrofitted. That's what this movie is like. We're going to... The end of the first Captain America did that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we have a movie, we have our movie, and then let's fuck the ending of this one. We're just going to tease the beginning of the Avengers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. So I feel like that's what this one's doing.
Well, not really. I mean, there was a definite ending to the story, and then there was like an extra 15 minutes tacked onto the movie where that easily could have been the entire opening sequence of the next movie.
It could, yeah. Straight up.
That could have been the opening sequence to the next movie.
But if they didn't have that in the end where they would have ended...
That would have been rough.
That would have been up there with Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, totally.
Downer endings.
Uh-huh. Well, for most people, I would have walked out with the biggest smile on my face.
Yeah, you're a sick bastard.
I am a sick bastard.
Sick man, this guy. Did you like the movie?
Well, for that one point, I did. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole... I mean, I understood the whole love interest story thing, blah, 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 but they were pressing that really hard.
Well, they had to.
Yeah.
That's what it was about.
Yeah, yeah.
Parker loves Stacy.
Mm.
Stacy loves Parker.
Exactly.
But they can't be together.
Yeah. I mean, the villain was cool enough, I guess.
They did do the thing. Okay.
I like how when...
Jamie Foxx was good.
I like how when Jamie Foxx finally turned into Electro, he lost the gap in his teeth.
Yeah, that was funny. Because as a nerd character, he had a big gap in his teeth.
Yep.
But then when he turns into Electro, they actually have a close-up of his teeth. Like,
yep, gone.
It's like, oh, electricity fixed his...
fixed his gap tooth. Isn't that nice?
What a nice superpower to have. Fix your teeth.
Although, I am a little critical. You know, the Electro was a little Dr. Manhattan-y.
He was very Dr. Manhattan-y at one point where he was just like... The way disintegrating and coming back together by piece and the way he was floating.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was Dr. Manhattan with little shorts.
Exactly.
And a little shorter.
Yeah.
Because he was Jamie Foxx.
Correct.
But still, I thought he did a good job. I like the character.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't like about the character, how all of a sudden he was just like, I'm Electro.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
I don't know.
He decided he was Electro, bro.
Harry Osborn.
Yes.
He never calls himself anything else.
No.
His name never comes up.
No, not at all.
I didn't check the credits. I wonder how he's credited in the movie.
Probably Harry Osborn.
They might have tacked on a Goblin credit on there.
Maybe not.
They never call
I doubt
him.
It.
Never call him that. Giamatti calls himself. He's like, I'm the Rhino.
I'm the Rhino.
It's like, that's so silly.
Yep.
You know, all these guys coming up with their names for themselves. But then again, it is a Spider-Man movie. He's very jokey, Spider-Man.
He is.
Very wisecracking.
Well, he is. I mean, more true to the, you know, I guess this day and age, that age group, you know?
I guess so, but isn't that what Spider-Man's thing? Isn't he
he's a teenager.
Isn't he a smartass?
Yeah. He's a wisecracking teenager.
Does this mean Emma Stone can finally stop playing high school graduates?
I hope so, because she did graduate high school in this movie.
Again? I mean, she's like 25. She's graduated high school so many times in movies now.
Yeah.
Gone to prom a bunch of times.
Yep.
Let's get this poor girl out of high school and give her some adult roles already. But did you like it, though?
I mean, it was good. The action scenes were fun.
There were some really cool moments here and there, and some cool shots.
A lot of the shots looked like they came right off of covers.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And they would slow motion down to a point, and it would freeze for just a split second, and I could just like close my eyes and see the Amazing Spider-Man and little how much it cost and the Marvel symbol and little barcode underneath it.
Yeah, for sure. One of those awesome shots. There was one where Spider-Man comes around a corner of a building, and it's a kind of a wide shot, and it's after Electro has everything all shut down power-wise, but he has one building that's going, and his face ends up on it.
Yeah.
That whole little, first he comes around, and it's like the lightning's like... shit, and so on. And then he hits the side of the building, and then he sees Electro's face, and it was really, I had a lot of stuff like that. I was like, it was really cool looking, really visually fun.
Yes.
The web slinging stuff, you know, a lot of really cool web stuff. Heavy emphasis on the webbing too.
On webbing, I mean, hell, I learned some things about that webbing I never knew.
But yeah, the melting and the
lighting on fire and the electricity stuff.
What he would do if one of his web slingers broke during battle?
Exactly.
So came up with some good ideas.
That's it. On the Flizzy.
Definitely a big step up, I would say, from the first one, from the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
I liked it.
Action-wise, definitely.
Action-wise, for sure. So would you recommend people go see it? How would you... would you put it in terms of Spider-Man movies? Which, on the whole, you don't even really like most of the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, I mean, in the pantheon of Spider-Man movies, this would be... All right, so this is number 5, right?
Yeah.
Since
2000, yeah.
It would be up there. I put these two... on top of the whole series.
Above the Raimi ones?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, you put those, you know, whichever one you like more, this one or the last one, they're about on par with each other, I would say. So, you know, you put those two.
So you didn't think this one was that much better than the one with the lizard?
I don't think it was much better.
Didn't really blow your socks off or nothing.
No, not really. But it was on par. It maintained the bar. Well, it didn't necessarily rise above it, but at least it maintained the bar.
And you feel that...
in itself is good enough.
At least that bar is higher than the bar set by Raimi and Maguire and
100%
and all those five folks.
Uh-huh.
And you didn't like Alfred Molina's Doc Ock? I really liked him as Doc Ock.
I thought he was a great Doc Ock. I mean, hell, if you want to bring that guy
Alfred Molina
as Doc Ock for this universe, I'm totally down.
I think he's a little too old now.
I'm totally down for that.
That would be awesome.
I'm cool with that. That's awesome. Because technically he's got the same... It's that same contraption in this one.
Yeah, you see it.
Yeah.
They even show... They show it in the trailer, too.
Well, no, exactly. So you know it's the same contraption, so it's the same universe-ish.
Well, I liked it. I think it's definitely... more than a step up from the last one. For me, I enjoyed it a lot.
These guys are... I mean, for me, I'm happy. They did what they did, and I'm happy about it.
Okay.
So.
Word. They got the eyes right this time. The big white eyes.
Yeah, they did get the eyes right. And
last time, there were little yellowish gold ones. That was weird.
And they got the other thing right, so.
And they got the other thing. The thing which will be unnamed for now until later. If you want to know what that thing is without going to see the movie,
just
tweet Drew at Antihero 419 and he'll let you know. He'll DM him. Just
look up Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy and you'll know exactly what happens because it's been, I mean, this happened in the 70s.
It's a very seminal moment in the...
This is 45 years old.
In the spider history.
Yes.
Okay, well, theaters,
definitely.
Matinee, airplane.
See it on the biggest screen you can. It's a summer blockbuster. It deserves to be seen as such.
You don't feel people be wasting money at all? All right, there you go. I would agree with that. I would definitely say it's worth seeing in the theater. I liked it. I feel like it sounds like I liked it more than you did, but I also have a much lower standard when it comes... I didn't grow up, you know, devouring comic books, and I wasn't steeped in the lore. So I'm much more open to changing details because I don't know the details. You want to change them around? That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So for me, I thought it was cool. It was good. A lot of interesting stuff. You know, I don't think people are going to be talking about this movie 20, 30 years from now. But
yeah,
not. It's not one of those things.
No,
but, you know, it's. You could definitely spend a lot worse ways. A little over 2 hours and 20 minutes. You could spend far worse 2 hours and 20 minutes.
It's a quick 2:22. This was another one of those. I didn't feel it at all. There wasn't really a point in time where I was like, man.
When is this thing going to end?
Yeah, how far into this movie are we?
That's actually true.
Yeah.
So. The story is built pretty well where each scene leads into the next one. It didn't really feel like it was spinning its wheels. That's one thing because it does, I did want to mention, it does market it as having three villains.
Yeah.
But it really doesn't. It has one villain for the most part and then it's almost like they tag him out just to bring in the next guy. So Spider-Man's only dealing with one guy at a time. And then your third, quote, villain, like we said, doesn't come until the very, very, very end. And even then, it's just setting up the next movie. So it's not even part of the story. So he's not cluttering the story.
No.
So it's still... And then each character, they're trying to do things based on what their character wants, what, you know, based as people. You know, Electro, the nerd guy, he wants to be noticed, he wants to be seen by people. As Electro, he finally has a chance to, you know,
exactly,
everyone needs him finally.
Yep.
Harry Osborn's son, his whole thing is obvious with his dad and his legacy, and he wants to live.
Yeah.
Very, very palpable thing he wants to live. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's some MacGuffin that they're trying to get. They're not trying to get the Tesseract. They're not trying to stop a huge beam from in the center of the city. That's what happened in the first Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, the Lightning device trying to send something out from, you know, whatever. There's no... The bad guys in this movie, Electro's not trying to take over the world.
No. He all he wants to do is hurt Spider-Man.
He wants to hurt Spider-Man really bad and then be the power source for the city so people have to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be like, I'll be their god, you know. And then Osborn just wants to live.
Yeah.
You know? And if Spider-Man's got to bleed in the process.
Yeah, so what?
So what? Yeah. I think that's why it kind of... That's why it helps... The movie helps propel because it doesn't feel like it's a bunch of bullshit. It's... They're all based on what each character wants. And then the whole, obviously, the Peter Parker, Gwen Stacy. I love you, I can't be with you. Well, you can. You know, that's all driving.
I'm going to web forward. I love you in the Brooklyn Bridge. Right. I love you.
Oh, that works. That's enough. That's enough for me. Okay, here we go. So no new movie is coming out on DVD. There's only the Veronica Mars movie, which was just in theaters a couple months ago. And it's now on DVD.
That's quick.
So there you go. What's in theaters?
Coming out in theaters, that comedy we were talking about, Rogan... Yeah. Efron. Neighbors.
Burn. Who's with Efron?
Lisa.
Franco,
yeah.
Yeah.
Not James, the younger.
Of the Dave variety.
Yes.
Directed by Nick Stoller, who he's the guy who did Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Okay.
And then 5-Year Engagement.
Nice.
And the one other movie along those lines. So dude's a pretty good director. You know, all he does is comedy. Is that comedy directing is really tough because, you know, comedy is tough. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. It's written by the team of Rogan and Goldberg. Evan Goldberg is
nice.
His buddy. Who wrote, you know, they wrote Superbad and This Is the End and all that stuff.
Yeah. So this will be fun.
Hope so.
Along those lines.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully it'll be good. And you know what I was thinking? Zac Efron. Like, when are we going to start giving the guy a chance?
I'm giving him a chance currently. I'm actually looking forward to this. Well,
there you go. So this is Neighbors it. We're giving movie. Him a chance now with Neighbors.
Hang on. What else? No, I could have sworn I've seen him in another movie.
I've definitely
where he
seen
didn't
him.
Get peed on.
Fair enough. Yeah, I've definitely seen him in one or two other things, but I can't think of what
That's
it was.
What I'm saying.
But he's doing this thing because when he started, was he a Nickelodeon guy or a Disney?
I think he was
guy?
A Disney kid.
He was a Disney kid. Obviously, he's, you know, uber good looking, like he was made in a lab or something. Mm-hmm. Like he was genetically designed. It's very annoying.
Yeah.
And then he's going to make that, he's going for that transition from kid star to adult.
Comedy is a good way to do it.
Comedy is a good way to do it, but it's still hard. That 5 up to 10 year transition for some of these. So a lot of these kids can't make that switch, you know, and it's hard to look past that. He's been at least making a couple interesting attempts, like the whole, you know, getting peed on a movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least he's trying to subvert his image in different ways. And
yeah,
man, I'm trying to think of that one movie because he worked with Lee Daniels and he worked with someone else. He was like, this is a guy who's not trying to make it easy on himself.
Yeah.
You know, if you want it easy, you don't do a movie with Lee Daniels featuring John Cusack masturbating.
I'll click on him. Let's see what Zac Efron's doing.
Masturbating on a death row.
Let's see what he's done.
While you sit there and watch, while you McConaughey watch. That's weird. That's weird.
Oh, he was in. We keep selling him in trailers for That Awkward Moment.
Yeah, that's right. He was in that. But that looks like something that I would expect him to be in.
He was in The Lucky One.
That's another one where
a voice in The Lorax.
The Lucky One is like one of those Nicholas Sparks things or whatever, like The Notebook type of deal.
Yeah.
Those are movies where I expect Zac Efron to be in.
Charlie St. Cloud.
Again, another one.
Me and Orson Welles.
That's one. That's the first time where I read about him where he was playing a young guy who works with Orson Welles, a young Orson Welles, and people were saying how he was really good to work with and he's very interesting and... And that was right when he was definitely right around the beginning of him, like, I'm going to do non-kid stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I never saw it, though, me and Orson Welles. Because, you know, right. But anyway, so here we go. Zac Efron. Let's see what you got, buddy. Let's see what you got. And then there's really nothing else coming out. I mean, there's just that Chef movie, which I don't even know if that'll be a wide release. I haven't seen any.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I haven't seen any. It's Jon Favreau. It's
written and directed by Jon Favreau.
It's got...
writer of Swingers.
It says Robert Downey Jr. is in it.
Of course it's going to have a small part. Of course.
Scarlett Johansson's in it, so is Dustin Hoffman. Probably not for, like I said, probably not from very long. Not for very long.
Who knows?
It's just about a chef who loses his restaurant job and opens up a food truck.
Yep. Written by Jon Favreau right after he lost his Iron Man director job. So
go figure.
There you go.
Think it's a metaphor, Chris.
Metaphor for life. Let's take a break. Go into the Crespo Disco. Remember Silence of the Lambs, Drew?
The Lambs, Clarice, the Lambs.
There's a scene where Buffalo Bill's dancing.
Oh, dude. Is this the song from it?
Oh, yes, it is.
Because I've got a really funny story about that.
Do you?
Well, I used to work at a restaurant out on Sand Lake.
Uh-huh.
And one of my little compatriots was a young kid right out of culinary school.
Okay.
He'll remain nameless, but
we'll call him Bill.
You know, I twisted his mind pretty well. I trained him on a station, blah blah blah, yada yada yada. But I would mess with him, and he kind of assumed my dark sense of humor. And you know, we used to always do, you know, in the kitchen, you know, anything goes, and you know, always a lot of Hannibal Lecter comments, a lot of silly things, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to talk about, you know, this movie a lot, this scene, how messed up it is, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. One day after work, this kid gets in his car, pulls around, stops right in front of me. Doors open. This song is playing. And he starts doing it. Like, he's sitting there waving in front of me, like dancing all weird, and I just kind of freak out. Get in my car, and I'm like, oh, you are so messed up, my friend.
That's wild. He's trying to wig you out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It worked.
It's a good song, though.
It's a messed up scene.
It's a messed up scene. It's a good song.
Would you fuck me, Chris? I'd fuck me.
$5 right now if you can tell me who sings this song.
No idea.
Q Lazarus.
All right.
So, yeah, there you go. A little bit of Goodbye Horses. We'll be back with the second half, episode 69 of Cinema Crespediso. Enjoy the song. If you're driving around, or you're in a subway or something, or on a train, look out the window at the passing countryside. Contemplate, meditate. Think about Buffalo Bill. If you don't know the scene we're talking about, YouTube, Buffalo Bill, Signs of the Lambs. We'll see you on the other side.
I'm not afraid to die. What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
All right, welcome to the second half of episode 69 of episode 69 of Cinema Crespo Diso. A little double take there, a little double back. Sorry about that. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drew Sagagra and Drew.
What up?
Chilling, buddy. hanging out, doing our thing. Let's get the plugs out of the way. We already mentioned that you can tweet Drew at antihero419 if you want Amazing Spider-Man 2 spoilers.
Oh yeah.
You can tweet me at I am Chris Crespo. I'll spoil anything you want on the Twitter, DM wise. You know, I try to, you know. Publicly, I don't want to put that stuff out there. But hey, if you want to know the ending of the stuff, I'll tell you the ending all the time.
Sweet.
You know, just keep it private as well. That's what I'm saying. Go to chriscrespo.com. Please, if you don't mind, go there. Got reviews, past episodes of Cinema Crespo Diso, as well as future episodes, of course. You can get right there the link to the Instagram for Cinema Crespo Diso, as well as the facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. And email the show, CinemaCrespoDiso@gmail.com, with questions, topics, comments, anything. You want free stuff, email us. You might get it. We still owe some people some free stuff, Drew.
We do.
Our homeboy in California and another buddy out in Oklahoma. We know who they are. I'm ashamed to say their names now to bring it up on the show because I feel bad. We should have sent them stuff by now, and we haven't.
I have a shitty computer.
You have a shitty computer.
Old file types that are no longer accepted.
If you want to donate your gently used laptop to Juicy Cogwin to the show, hit us up.
We need to be able to run some version of Photoshop. Just has to be able to run Illustrator. Some
Photoshop and Illustrator. It's all we need, folks. That's all we need. Hook us up. All right, here we go. Enough begging for free stuff. We got a lot to talk about. What we got over here? Is that everything? I think we got everything.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes, Stitcher, right? All that stuff. Yeah. Rate, review, download, tell your friends. Share the love.
Yeah.
Spread the love, spread as it were.
Spread it, share it. All that fun stuff.
Let's see. Where am I going? I guess we'll just start with the... I got a whole bunch of stories here. A bunch of interesting stories. Did you know that, you remember Josh Hartnett? Remember him?
Right? Yeah. He was, last thing I saw him in was the original Sin City.
Right. What was that, 2005, I think. Apparently, in a recent interview, Josh Hartnett reveals why he turned down roles like Superman, Spider-Man, and Batman. This time 10 years ago, Josh Hartnett was everyone's everything. His resume was like a masterclass in transferring boyish charm to box office gold. But then the movies they list are Halloween H2O, Pearl Harbor, and 4 Days and 40 Nights, to name a few of his hits. Two of those three are just god awful.
Correct.
I haven't seen 4 Days and 40 Nights, so I can't judge. That ability has come to a halt in recent years as Hartnett's last certified smash was 2005 Sin City, and he only appears briefly in that film. But perhaps that cash flow would have continued had he taken one of the many superhero roles he was offered. A new interview with Details magazine finds Hartnett discussing his decisions to turn down offers to play Superman in Superman Returns, as well as Spider-Man and Batman.
Okay.
He says Spider-Man was something we talked about, Batman was another one, he said, but I somehow knew those roles had potential to define me, and I didn't want that. I didn't want to be labeled as Superman for the rest of my career. I was maybe 22, but I saw the danger.
That's what would have happened.
Hartnett says he vanished from mainstream film roles after the success of Pearl Harbor and Black Hawk Down because he didn't feel comfortable being known so ubiquitously. He took 18 months off to return home and reconnect with old friends.
Good for him.
So you want to know how to stop your movie career?
Stop making movies?
Your hot movie career? Yeah, you leave Hollywood. Stop making movies for 1.5 years. People forget about you quick.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to get back in it. And you know what he says now?
Wow. Good luck with that.
No, if someone came to him and said that he'd be looking at him for a superhero role,
uh-huh.
He says now, quote, I'd say, let's talk about how it'll be done. See if we can get on the same page. Compromise doesn't scare me anymore.
Oh, there we go.
So there you go. Now he's open to being a superhero. Can you see Josh Hartnett as any sort of superhero?
Nope.
No. Just a white guy. Playing white
guy. I would need to see him, I don't know. I would like to see him maybe as like an anti-hero. You know, walking around with some stubble around on his face, kicking ass and taking names.
There you go. All right. So a Punisher type.
That'd be cool.
Josh Hartnett as the Punisher.
That would be interesting. That'd be a weird ass Punisher.
You have to do a little beefing up. That mm-hmm. would be an interesting Punisher. Author of Gravity the novel sues makers of Gravity the movie.
Why?
Why exactly? Tess Gerritsen, the best-selling author behind the Rizzolian Isles series. You know Rizzolian Isles?
Isn't that one of those terrible... one of the chicks used to be a...
On your show.
On the Law and Order.
Yeah, yeah.
She used to be one of the hot brunette DAs.
The assistants, McCoy assistants, right?
Yeah.
She's filed a lawsuit against Warner Brothers. The writer claims that Alfonso Cuarón's script for the space blockbuster is partially based on her 1999 novel of the same name.
Okay.
Novelist Tess Gerritsen filed a lawsuit on Tuesday, claiming the studio failed to acknowledge that its box office smash Gravity was partially based on one of her books, and that it now owes her 2.5% of the movie's net profits.
Ooh.
Her suit isn't for copyright infringement, because Warner Brothers bought the film rights to the novel in 99.
Okay.
Warner Brothers already had the rights to the book, so she's not claiming copyright infringement.
Yeah, yeah. She can't.
The lawsuit claims that Warner Brothers is in breach of contract, as the studio failed to give the author a base upon credit in the film, which was a stipulation in the sale of the novel's rights.
Oh.
Also a stipulation, according to the suit, was a production bonus of $500,000 if the movie was made, and then 2.5% of net profits from ticket sales.
Well, if it was...
DVD and TV reruns.
Well, is that if her Gravity was made, or if just any movie was made? Because, I mean, yeah, if it's partly hers, maybe she should get a portion. You know, I don't think she should get all that stuff if it's not all her work. If you can prove what portion it is and blah, 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 maybe come to some sort of settlement or something. But if she's going for the whole thing, she's just going to lose on that basis by itself.
Well, this Time.com article goes on to say, interestingly, Gerritsen did not originally believe the 2013 film had anything to do with her novel, despite the fact that the two had the same title, setting, and general plot, both feature a woman astronaut stranded in space. That's kind of hard to deny already, right there. They got a book called Gravity about a woman stranded in space, and then they make a movie called Gravity about a woman stranded in space, and be like, no, we came up with this independently. Yet, her lawyer told the New York Times that the author now believes the script was based on her novel after discovering some unnamed mystery information. We've since come up with some other ties through a little investigation, he told the Times somewhat cryptically. Neither Warner Brothers or Cuarón responded to the Times request for comment. Gravity won 7 Oscars, made $716 million at the box office, which means Gerritsen will be looking at $17 million if her suit is successful.
Oh, nice.
So $17 million payday is what she's going for. So, I mean, that's interesting. So originally, she didn't even think. Even after seeing the movie, originally, she was like, this is really not based on my book.
Mm-hmm.
And then something else came up independently of all that made her think. I wonder if that thing that came up independently was the $760 million worldwide gross. Could that be possible?
Maybe. That might have something to do with it.
Man, what the hell? I want to know.
I could see that.
I guess once the lawsuit gets filed or whatever, we'll find out what that document is. Or they could end up settling.
Yeah, they
like
could.
Like you said, you mentioned the settlement word.
I mean, just settle out of court for, you know, less.
For half of 17?
Yeah, yeah.
We'll settle for half. Plus, we'll give you a 1% of all future DVD and TV rerun.
I'll take that.
You'll take that? Done. But moving on. See, we should be litigators. Arbitrators. This is kind of funny. I wanted you to see this.
Cogburn and Crespo, litigators.
Cogburn and Crespo?
Cogburn. Yeah, totally Cogburn.
Okay, it's alphabetical. I wanted to show you this. X-Men
Yes.
And Carl's Jr. make for a messy marketing mutation.
What?
Just look at this. Let me show you here. Yeah. So, you know, the Carl's Jr., they have those commercials where someone just stands in front of a plane background. They have a sandwich and they very slowly eat it.
Uh-huh.
And it's usually a really big burger.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a hot chick
in
a bikini.
I've seen the hot girl eating the Carl's Jr.
Yeah, very sexist. Yeah. You know?
It is. It's a wonderful commercial, though. It makes me want two things.
They're doing them now with the X-Men characters. So you can be, hopefully one day you'll be watching TV and you haven't seen a commercial, lame. You'll see Mystique. That's not Jennifer Lawrence, though, obviously. It's some actress dressed up like Mystique eating a burger, Colossus.
That's lame. Yeah. That looks really stupid.
You think that looks stupid?
Yeah, I do.
The first time anyone gets to see the Quicksilver character, his debut was... here we go.
But didn't we just... I just saw his debut. Didn't I?
I gotta show you this.
Did I just see his debut? Wasn't he just in the new X-Men trailer?
Oh, no, but this came out before that. Here we go. It's time. Four. You gotta see this stuff. There's gotta be a way for me to... Okay, I can do this real quick. All right, before we go to Jurassic Park vs. the World, Drew, you got to watch this commercial of the first time anyone ever sees Quicksilver, because this came out before the trailer we saw.
Okay.
That just came out. That trailer is brand new.
Yeah.
This is the first time anyone sees a Quicksilver character. What's it playing? And he's getting down on that delicious breakfast sandwich. The bacon and the eggs.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the kid from American Horror Story?
Yes, it is. The kid from American Horror Story is Quicksilver, and he's eating a breakfast sandwich from Carl's Jr.
Man, is he going to... I wonder if they're going to stay true to the Quicksilver character.
It depends on what rights they have, because some of the Quicksilver backstory rights belong to Fox, and some of them belong to Marvel, which is why we're going to have two different Quicksilvers at once.
Mm.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Interesting. So I wonder... Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out... We'll find out who has what rights in this when this X-Men movie comes out and what Magneto says.
I forgot. I could have told you a while ago. I forgot which one has the rights to call. I think the Avengers movies, the Avengers ones, the Marvel ones, they can't refer to Magneto or mutants. They can't even call Quicksilver or what's her name?
Scarlet Witch.
They can't call them mutants.
Okay.
They can't even use the M word.
Okay.
The M word is banned.
Okay.
Okay.
So the Avengers won't be calling Scarlet Witch Magneto's daughter.
No.
So that means in this one, so I guess this one they can then.
Yes.
But will they? That's the question.
Probably.
Because technically Quicksilver's Magneto's son.
Yeah, so probably.
So.
Probably. Anyway. Where were we? Hey, Jurassic Park vs. the World. Episode 69. This is Barring Round. Got a guest lineup for next week. But you're on a roll this year, man. How many games so far? Six games?
Six. I'm 5-1.
Good golly. All right, well. In honor of Jodorowsky's Dune, let's do a tomato meter challenge. I'll give you the science, and it's the sci-fi edition. I'll give you the movie, two movies. You tell me which one has the highest tomato meter reading.
Okay.
Rating, all right? And these ratings are all based on a minimum of 50 reviews. So, in case that matters to anyone. Here we go. Which one has the highest rating? Number one, The Wizard of Oz or E.T.? And I got these from the top 100 sci-fi movie list on RottenTomatoes.com.
E.T.?
Wizard of Oz at a rating of 99%. E.T. a rating of 98%. So just off by 1% there. That's a tight one. Number two, which has a higher rating? The Terminator or... It's a Wonderful Life.
Terminator.
The Terminator has a rating of 100%.
Yes.
And It's a Wonderful Life has a rating of 94%. Were you going to say something? Were you going to change your mind there?
No, I was going to say I'm just going to pick the ones that I hope is right. Okay. Like in my mind.
It's a Wonderful Life. It's a good movie.
The better Drew-o-meter meter.
The Drew meter. And the Terminator one is out of exactly 50 reviews. 100% of them are positive. So there you go. go see that next.
Correct.
Number three, which has a higher rating, Aliens or Big?
Big.
Aliens has a rating of 98%.
Ow.
Big has a rating of 97%. So there we go. Number four, higher rating, Groundhog Day or 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day has a rating of 97%. 2001, 95%. There you go. You're 2-2 so far. Number five, which has a higher rating? Jodorowsky's Dune or Gojira from 1954, the original Godzilla?
Jodorowsky's Dune.
Jodorowsky's Dune has a Rotten Tomato rating of 99%.
It's an amazing documentary.
And Gojira has a rating of 94%. So yeah, that's correct there. There you go. Good job. Number six. Highest rating, please. Beauty and the Beast or Back to the Future?
Back to the Future.
Beauty and the Beast has a rating of 93%. Back to the Future, 96%. Well done. We're on a roll. Number seven, which has the highest rating on the Rotten Tomatoes? Children of Men or Source Code?
Children of Men.
Children of Men has a rating of 93%. Source Code has a rating of 92%. That's close, but that's correct. Here we go. Number eight. Which one's higher? District 9 or Being John Malkovich?
Oh, District 9.
District 9 has a rating of 90%. Being John Malkovich, 93%.
Ah.
Number nine, which has a higher rating, The Fly or Iron Man?
The Fly.
The Fly has a rating of 91%. Iron Man, 93%. And finally, number 10, which has the highest rating on Rotten Tomatoes, Captain America, The Winter Soldier or Minority Report?
Captain America.
Captain America Winter Soldier has a rating of 89%. Minority Report, 91%. Ooh, let's see. One, two,
brutal.
Three, four, and you split it. 5 out of 5. Five right, 5 wrong.
Splitsville,
USA. Drew Stokogren versus the world. Good thing there's no one here. Good to go. So, yeah, that's X-Men. You know, the first thing when I think of a war on mutants and an allegory for the civil rights movement and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all that stuff, the first thing I think of is stuffing my face with a breakfast sandwich or a burger. Double cheeseburger. Don't you? Isn't that what you think of?
No.
That's up there with the Hunger Games cross promotion with Subway. Do you remember that one? Did you see that?
No.
They had ads for that. The last Hunger Games movie, Catching Fire. It was like Hunger Games Catching Fire. The Sriracha flatbread. You know, some ridiculous...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, you know...
I totally missed that one.
Hunger Games food, all that stuff.
It's probably a good thing I missed it.
Because it's so silly.
That is ridiculous.
I did mention... We mentioned Star Wars earlier, right?
No. I mean, we mentioned that it was the 4th. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
It is a trap, Chris.
And the...
What else you got? Got some more?
And, pick that one to read.
Got some more?
And, Oh, yeah, and I also have a Darth Vader.
That's not Darth Vader.
It's on him running around trying to gobble up all his little Darth Vader pellets. And chasing Jedi ghosts. It's not part of the Star Wars universe?
I don't think so.
I thought Star Wars encompassed all things.
No.
And then here's, I think I have the Star Wars theme song here. So, I have some, a little bit of Star Wars news here.
Okay.
Maybe you've heard, Drew. Maybe you heard.
Maybe.
The cast for episode 7 has been announced. The official cast.
Okay.
Now, it's been known unofficially for a while that Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and Harrison Ford were all coming back to reprise roles.
Yes.
30 years later, or whatever. 40 uh-huh. years later, right? That's been known unofficially, but as of last week, they were allowed to officially say, hey, we're doing it. This is what's happening.
Uh-huh.
We're in it. They announced other people that are coming back, as well as new people, new faces, all the fresh faces, the people that we expect to see for multiple movies. And I gotta say, it's a pretty good cast.
All right.
It's pretty, pretty good. So let's see here. We got a... Here's the actual release. The Star Wars team is thrilled to announce the cast of Star Wars Episode 7. Actors. All right, here are the new guys. John Boyega. I know you don't. The name is not familiar. Remember Attack the Block?
Yes.
The with the street hood.
Uh-huh.
English street hood kids fighting invading aliens. The lead kid, the main guy, who at that time, he was... not an actor at all. He was like plucked from the streets. He really was like from the projects or whatever in London and put in that movie. He's going to be in Star Wars.
Nice.
Daisy Ridley. I don't recognize the name. Maybe you want to look up the name. Daisy Ridley on Google. See if that looks familiar to you. Adam Driver, you know.
Okay.
Because you saw Inside Llewyn Davis.
Okay.
He's the guy in who plays the Adam Brody character. Mm-hmm. Who does the outer. Space. Oh, that tall, gangly guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That guy.
Okay.
You know who else will be in Star Wars?
Hmm.
His Inside Llewyn Davis scene mate, Oscar Isaac.
Nice.
Llewyn Davis himself.
Nice.
He's going to be in this movie. So I think that's pretty awesome because I'm a very big Oscar Isaac fan these days. Of course, you can't make a movie involving science fiction and fantasy and motion capture without involving Andy Serkis.
Correct.
So
he's going to be motion capturing something.
I don't think that's been announced yet. So that'll be interesting to see. Or maybe they'll use his real ugly face, which itself could be easily made into an alien of some sort. Domhnall? I don't know how to pronounce this. D-O-M-H-N-A-L-L. Domhnall Gleeson. That's Brennan Gleeson's boy.
Okay.
About Time. That movie... about the dude, that skinny redheaded kid who's like, he's going back in time and he falls in love with Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
And then his dad's Bill Nighy in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's Brandon Gleason's boy.
Okay.
And apparently his first name is Domhnall.
Whatever the fuck his name is.
Well, he's in it.
Okay.
And this dude called Max von Sydow.
Oh, Max.
The great.
Oh, he's going to be some awesome old Jedi, I hope.
Yeah, something like that, right? Maybe a bad guy.
I could see him as a Sith Lord. Oh, Max von Sydow as a Sith Lord. That would be awesome.
That would be epic. Gravitas. We're talking gravitas. So those are all the new peeps joining up. Fresh faces in the Star Wars universe that's now expanding.
I want to see Max von Sydow.
And confirmation of the returnees, Harrison Ford, who apparently, I think he's Han Solo is only going to be in this first episode 7.
Okay.
But it's supposed to be a pretty big role. Pretty big deal. He's going to be... it's more than just a cameo for him.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher. Back as Leia. Mark Hamill.
Mm-hmm.
Back as Luke. Anthony Daniels. Back as C-3PO. Still the only person to be in every single Star Wars movie so far.
Good for
the
him.
Only actor. Peter Mayhew. That's old Chewbacca.
Yep.
He's back. He's still alive. I wonder how old that guy is.
That's seriously.
And Kenny Baker is the dude who does the R2-D2.
Sweet. At least they have the original R2. That's nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's still working. He's still in the industry. He did the all the stuff for Wall-E, which is why Wall-E has a very, you know, kind of an R2-D2 quality to him, the way he verbalizes and whatever. So there you go. All these wonderful folks are back. Oh, Daisy Ridley has appeared in just a handful of BBC dramas, so she's a new name. She's a nobody, but she's about to be a somebody.
Interesting.
The principal cast will not start working in the UK until next month. That leaves 17 months for both production and post-production, which is ambitious considering the enormous scale of the project. So Star Wars Episode 7 is coming. You excited for that at all? At all? How do you feel about Star Wars?
I mean, I am excited. Now, I mean, do I know if it's going to be any good or not? That's a completely different story.
George Lucas ain't directing it.
Well, I know. J.J. Abrams?
Mm-hmm. J.J. Abrams is directing it.
So, yeah, I mean, Lucas's hands are out of it, so, I mean, hopefully, I don't know. I hope it does everything justice. I have a sour taste in my mouth for new Star Wars, whether it be, you know, Lucas or not.
Mm-hmm. So wary.
I am. Definitely wary.
You call yourself a wary Gary.
I'm definitely wary. I mean, I'm going to see it. It's going to get my money regardless. I just hope I'm not horribly disappointed, you know?
Right. Fair enough. Okay, let's jump to some... I got the questions from the peoples. They want to know. They got things they want us to pontificate on. You ready for this?
Let's pontificate.
We'll start with the Facebook. Caleb... Tombly, that's one of the dudes we owe.
Yeah, stuff.
We owe him stuff. We owe him stickers and stuff. He says, first, I feel like there is a perverted question that must be asked on episode 69.
Well, correct.
Well, wait for it. Just wait for it. Wait. Just wait for it, bro. Let's go. Next question. Oh, this is my brother checking in. What are you looking forward to the most for this summer's blockbusters? Off the top of your head, Drew, what's the one movie you're like... in the next couple months. Like, this is the one I want to see.
Godzilla.
I gotta agree. It's gotta be Godzilla.
Yeah. I mean, I am looking forward. I think I'm... The more often I see these Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, the more I think it's gonna be a fun movie.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's gonna be a lot of fun.
I think it'll be good.
I don't think it's gonna be a sleeper hit, but I think after it comes out in theaters, once it comes out on DVD, people are gonna watch it, and they're just gonna be like... this is a weird sci-fi movie. And we're going to be like, yeah, it is. But
yeah, because, you know, all these years later now, it's gotten to the point where people pretty much know what Watchmen is. Not everyone saw it in the theaters. It made barely over $100 million in its whole run.
Yeah.
And that was a weird one that no one knew when it came out. But now people know. They're like, oh, that one with the blue guy.
Yeah.
Blue Dong movie. People know that.
Yeah, the Blue Dong movie.
So in a few years, people will be like, oh, the Rocket Raccoon movie. The one with the raccoon.
Yes, but, exactly.
Yeah, hopefully it will be good. I would say, yeah, Godzilla, but is the one I'm most anticipating. Like, I gotta see that. I gotta see it. The one I'm most interested in would be, at this point, off the top of my head, the new Wachowski movie. The Jupiter
Ascending.
Oh, that
Jupiter Ascending. Oh, I'm so looking forward to that. Yeah. That looks...
I hope it's good. It looks
really
crazy.
I can't wait to see how Sean Bean's gonna die.
Yeah, because he's in it.
He's gonna die.
So he's gonna die. Like I said earlier, we're going to do a summer movie guide episode, bonus episode this week. So we'll talk about all the summer movies coming up from now, May, through August. So look for that, people. And then finally on the Facebook, Caleb came back. I think he came up with a perverted question. Let's see. Oh, looks like he came up with a couple of them. What is your favorite raunchy comedy? Your favorite sex scene, be it funny, classily done, or just good, with a lot of extra O's, haha. I just went with a theme this week. There he goes. All right, so what is your favorite raunchy comedy, Drew?
They don't make
too many raunchy comedies these days. Well, I guess Superbad has some raunch to it, for sure.
Superbad was pretty raunchy, a little bit. I mean,
Project X.
Yeah, I guess Project X was kind of a little raunchy.
Yeah, not like... like the Porky's days.
Yeah, it's not...
It feels like movies back then were more... We're pushing more, right?
Yeah, it seems like it. I don't know why. Looking back, in retrospect,
maybe not.
It's not really raunchy at all.
None of those movies had anyone like fucking a pie.
No, nobody was fucking a pie. There were some titties.
Did you like the American Pie movies?
There was titties through windows.
At all?
The first American Pie movie was pretty funny.
You like that first one?
Yeah. Mm. There were lots of titties. And pie fucking. That was kind of strange.
Favorite raunchy comedy. Raunchy makes it. It's got to be sexual. It's all sexual.
How about Fritz the Cat?
Fritz the Cat. And I never really got into Fritz the Cat, I guess. Yeah. I guess maybe I don't want to go cliche and just go with something from the 80s. Like, I just spit out Porky's and move on. There's no need to do that now. If I was going to throw one on, it's like, let's watch it. When is anyone ever in the mood for a raunchy comedy, by the way?
I don't know.
If I was going to throw one on right now, I would watch...
Wet Hot American Summer is pretty raunchy.
Wet Hot American Summer does have that. It's a spoof of that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Even though there's really not a lot of it in there. There's
that scene with Michael Ian Black and Bradley Cooper in the shed.
Yeah. Oh, there is. I forgot about that. Oh man. And what is it? Paul Rudd and Elizabeth Banks. They make out for like 3 minutes straight.
Yeah, and she has like barbecue sauce. Pretty funny.
Yeah, and Chris Maloney has sex with a refrigerator.
I might have to go with Wet Hot American
Summer. I think I'm going to agree with you on that one.
That's a good one, Drew.
Yeah, I agree.
Favorite sex scene, be it funny, costly, done, or just good? It was kind of creepy with that. Yeah. Favorite sex scene in the movie? Sex scene?
I mean,
they really write sex scenes in movies like that.
I really like the sex scene in Watchmen, because at the end the owl machine shoots its fire into the sky
right there, during the climax.
When he climaxes, yeah. It's the funniest thing ever.
That's pretty funny.
And it's kind of a hot sex scene too. I mean, Malene Ackerman does not look bad naked.
Nope, not look bad naked. Not looking bad naked at all. That's a fun one. I don't know, favorite. I don't know if we'll call it favorite, but one that pops to mind because it's... Well, he did say funny because it's funny. One that pops to mind because it makes me laugh, and it's not erotic. I don't find it erotic at all, or exciting or anything. Just funny. Showgirls. Elizabeth Berkley.
Yeah.
Pool scene.
Yeah.
There's a part where she's like, they're having sex in the pool, and she's getting really into it. Uh-huh. And it's just her,
yeah.
It's just her banana flappers like spinning in circles.
Yep,
it looks really funny.
It does. I've seen it.
Does not look attractive. It looks ridiculous and very hilarious. Definitely think of that. Otherwise, there's a funny one in. I think it's The Meaning of Life. Monty Python's Meaning of Life, where they have a sex education class. And it's a couple old people get up on the desk. Actually, I think it's John Cleese has sex with his wife, and his wife is an old lady.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is AF sex. This is sex ed.
Sweet.
That's pretty fine.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Going on to Twitter, at UncoolGirlJen. Oh, she pretty much the same thing. In honor of episode 69, hottest sex scene in a non-porn. Very specific, non-porn. Don't be talking about porn now, fellas. Hottest, but she wants to know hottest.
The scene in Wild Things?
Did Caleb not ask for hottest? He just said best or favorite. She wants to know hottest.
The scene in Wild
Things?
Yeah,
everyone says Wild Things. It's a threesome in the pool.
It's fucking hot.
It's the same.
That was young Denise Richards, too.
And they did one of those in Spring Breakers. James Franco has one of those in the pool. Maybe that was in honor of Wild Things.
Maybe
it was. That's a classic. And that's a good one. There's one, I don't know what, I haven't seen it. I forgot which movie it is, but there's a movie from the 70s with Donald Sutherland where it's been rumored, alleged for years, that it's been, they had actual sex on set.
Okay.
Which is how good, I guess, that sex scene was.
No, it was for real.
You know what? You know where there is some pretty hot, like, sexy stuff going on?
Where?
Which then just gets at the end. It's all twisted and perverted and horrible. The cook, the thief, his wife and her lover.
Oh, good lord.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
In bathroom stall with the dude in the immaculate lady's bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's tripped pretty out hot. To her lingerie. She was a great looking lady.
Yeah, she was.
Even in her 40s. You know? Was she a dame? Dame Mirren? Should we be talking about a dame like that in those terms?
Yes.
Her Majesty's
Secret We're American, Service. Bro. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
We are American. We have been emancipated from you. Shout out to our UK listeners. We love our UK listeners. You guys are great. All right, so there we go. Yep. At Rage Against Twit, visually trippy movies, Dark Crystal, Never Ending Story, the 77 animated Hobbit, Fantasia, stuff like that. Once
I was going to say Fantasia.
You know, Jodorowsky's Dune has Jodorowsky's
Dune would have blown your goddamn mind.
Even the documentary itself has a few bits here and there. Yeah. It's like, wow, this is crazy.
Exactly.
Stuff, man.
Akira, definitely. Yeah,
Akira for sure. Those Japanese, the
all those animes.
Talk about that stuff a little bit last.
Very visually during stimulating. The
cartoon. Go and check out that that Dr. Drew's Two Cents cartoon edition. That was a fun episode. We talked about a lot of stuff like that.
Fear and Loathing.
For sure. For sure has those moments.
Oh, what was that weird movie where the kid smokes the AMT and then just floats?
The DMT.
DMT.
The Enter the Void.
Yes, that was...
Yeah, that's a weird, trippy experience of a movie. At 3 hours long, that is one of the most boring, interesting movies ever.
Yeah, it
or
is.
Or one of the most interesting, boring movies ever. Either yeah. or. But yeah, it's pretty.
Either way you look at it.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah, that's what the movies afford you the chance to do, to get crazy with
the,
it.
All
different and interesting and weird.
There's the Animatrix.
Animatrix gets awesome.
It's good, but my favorite, there are two of them that play. It's the history.
Yeah.
Of how the robots came to be and everything, and that whole two sections mm-hmm. is so awesome.
Absolutely agreed, for sure.
So good. I mean, the rest of it's good too, but that really stands out.
The Fountain has sequences that are most Aronofsky movies have those visual, like Noah.
Yeah,
that whole
I think Noah's
Genesis story.
Stole some of those effects.
Can he steal his own effects? They're laying around in his lab.
I know.
They were
some of the same effects.
He did have one or two of the same effects. Speaking of which, they used the same guys in Tree of Life for their visual representation of the Big Bang and the expansion of the universe and stuff.
Nice.
So so did you sleep through that? You never got to that part of the Tree of Life? You should cue that up and like just skip through the first 10 minutes where Brad Pitt finds out his son killed himself,
uh-huh.
and then skip the part where Sean Penn is morose as he remembers how his brother killed himself,
mm-hmm.
and then just go straight to the Big Bang,
okay.
and it's the history of the universe in like 10 minutes,
sweet,
all the way up to the dinosaurs, to some kind of silly looking CG dinosaurs, but all that stuff is great looking,
mm-hmm.
it's fantastic, and that was supposed to be expanded into like an IMAX feature,
yeah,
but that never happened.
Oh, that I would have loved to see.
But it's great, beautiful stuff. Pretty much any Terrence Malick movie will give you some great visuals. I don't know about visually trippy, but still beautiful stuff. So, Rage Against Sweat came back with another question.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, we can't.
Also, what was it? What was that weird ass movie we saw? Maybe Black Rainbow?
Beyond the Black Rainbow. That's one. That's one where it's a visually
that
weird.
That is visually trippy as
mm-hmm.
fuck.
Yes, and don't try to get too much from the story.
No.
Just sit back and let the mood take you in on that
yeah.
one. You want some visual trippery? Just check out any 80s Cronenberg.
Yeah, that'll
or even, even some 70s Cronenberg video. Videodrome's 80s. Scanners. The Brood, stuff like that. But if you could get your hands on Videodrome, The Fly, Dead Ringers.
Oh, Dead Ringers. Oh, Jeremy Irons, you creepy motherfucker.
You'll see some stuff. You'll see some stuff you wish you could unsee.
Correct.
Rage Against Twit came back with another question on Twitter. He found out recently that Magneto and Professor X are inspired by the whole Malcolm X MLK relationship.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So what are your favorite characters based on real life?
Based on real life characters.
Well, I'm looking at the poster. They say that Stallone got part of his inspiration from Rocky. It's kind of a compendium of real life boxers.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of like, you know, Rocky Marciano in there.
Yeah.
And also based on this one dude who fought Ali. And he managed to go to distance with Ali. And even sort of knocked him down once.
But didn't win.
But he didn't win.
No.
Yeah. So Rocky Balboa is in some ways based on that, even though it's still a very all-new character, you know, stuff like that. Llewyn Davis.
Yeah.
He was based on, just talking about that, this guy, Dave Van Ronk. mm-hmm. you know, and they made Llewyn Davis very loosely based out of that guy. I thought that was very, very interesting, very well done.
Yeah. I mean, there have been a bunch of Hunter S. Thompson movies made.
Yes, there have been. Even the Rum Diary, which is an interesting one because Thompson wrote that, but it was a fictional book,
yeah.
but based on his experiences in Puerto Rico.
So it was basically just Johnny Depp was just playing him in Puerto Rico.
It's like where, and then even in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, the main character's name is Raul Duke.
Yeah,
and Raul Duke is like Hunter S. Thompson's like working alias.
Yeah,
so he's like one step removed from Hunter S. Thompson. And then in Paul Kemp is a fictionalized version, so it's like two steps away.
Yeah,
it's strange. It's strange how that happens. And then Bill Murray played him too in Where the Buffalo Roam.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's Hunter S. Thompson ones are fun. Those are good. Bullet, Steve yeah. McQueen.
Uh-huh.
That's based on the detective Toski guy, the San Francisco detective from Zodiac
uh-huh.
movie.
Yeah,
that guy. They made movies about him. Bullet was based on him.
Oh, nice.
That's why he's walking around and Mark Ruffalo has the gun under his arm like that.
Yeah,
and just like if you look up Bullet, Steve McQueen,
he always
that.
Has it. Yeah,
yeah, that's him.
Sweet.
That's based on
that's
that
cool.
guy. That's one. Made that. Excited I made that connection.
Yeah. Good job.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. One more question. Here we go. Mr. Nadathon, with the current trend of shared universes, that's the whole the Avengers effect that yeah. I'm talking about. What characters would you like to share a movie? Ooh, let's do a mashup movie.
Yeah.
How would you mash up a movie? What characters would you like to see?
I'll see anything, man.
You'd see anything? Would you really?
I mean, a lot. Character mashups are fun.
Like, I mean,
can I get a Wolverine versus Hulk movie? It happened in the comic books quite a few times.
That does sound fun.
I want a Wolverine versus Hulk movie.
Who wins? Who wins that one?
They always end up a draw.
They always do, don't they?
Because, I mean, you know, Wolverine, you know, you can beat the shit out of him time and time again, but he'll keep coming back.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as long as Bruce Banner's angry, it's not like he gets hurt.
So Wolverine keeps poking him with his blade.
Well, exactly. They just keep scrapping at each other. Nobody really wins. Wolverine gets bloody. He heals himself. The Hulk's pretty much impervious, so he just kind of takes it.
Interesting. Yeah, that'd be a fun one. But then if it comes to a draw, that means that there has to be someone, or always someone comes in that they have to team up together to beat.
Of course.
That's always the way it is. So then we got
when heroes fight.
When heroes fight, yeah. So we got to team up Wolverine and Hulk with a bad guy from another franchise. So who? Another epic bad guy. Does that have to be comic booky? It doesn't have to be a comic book. It could be any character.
Yeah, everyone, dude.
They have to go up against Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper? So, I have a feeling that Wolverine the Hulk win, dude.
Versus Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper's human.
That's right. So that's one movie. But then they travel through time because they had to travel back in time to get killed.
Oh, if we do time travel stuff, then I've got a graphic novel for you. Marvel 1492.
Oh, yeah. I heard about those.
What
happened to those ones? Those are all old-timey versions.
Basically, the way it's all set up, spoiler alert, the way it's all set up is there was, there was like a rip in time or something,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Captain America from the original Marvel Universe
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
fell through the rip in time and ended up in, you know, mid 1400s America.
Okay.
Right? And because that happened, it sparked mutants, basically. You know, because one mutant was introduced, it started the whole thing, as opposed to it starting later.
Okay.
You know? Like, you know, a couple hundred years later or whatever. So you've got all these superheroes that are living just in olden times, you know? Like Doctor Strange has got his crazy Victorian getup on. Why? Because it's freaking the Victorian era.
Is Marvel?
Yeah, Marvel.
So is there old 1400s?
Marvel 1602, my mistake. So not 1492.
So there's 16. So there's 1600s, yeah. Like Spider-Man?
Yeah, 1600 Spider-Man. I think he's from South America.
Okay, we'll have 1600 Spider-Man team up with a 2000s Hulk via time travel.
Okay.
That's still Marvel. That's still the same universe. We're going to have 1600s Spider-Man team up.
How about like with...
with James Bond.
Okay.
To fight... Christopher Walken from King of New York. That's weird. The mob guy. He just gets got to prison and he goes around.
You can do old timey Marvel with old timey DC.
Old timey Marvel.
How about like Pirates of the Caribbean, but with Batman?
Pirates of the Caribbean,
but Batman's a pirate. With Pirate Batman.
Buttman's a pirate?
Batman's a pirate.
I'm pretty sure you said Buttman's a pirate.
I said Batman's a pirate.
I'm almost positive you said Buttman's a pirate.
Buttman's a pirate.
Bat Buttman. Buttman's a pirate. They're throwing things at me.
Do a barrel roll.
I don't know why I hit that one. I just hit a random button. That was the worst one. That was the worst one to hit. Yep. I saw a BA. Thought maybe Batman.
Nope.
Let's mash up. X-Men's on my mind because X-Men's coming out soon.
Okay.
Magneto
versus
We can do like Magneto versus he teams up with the Inglorious Bastards to fight Hitler.
Okay, that works.
And but Hitler, he gets help from Hitler gets help.
Who helps? Who's gonna help Hitler?
Who helps? It's gotta be someone
Red
good.
Skull could help Hitler.
Red Skull and Dr. Doom.
Ooh, Dr. Doom would totally help Hitler.
Dr. Doom wants to help Hitler, as does the Emperor and Emperor Sith Lord.
Ooh.
So they're like, we got the Death Star for you. So the Death Star is hanging just above Earth, to like blast down on our good guys. And Magneto is working for the good guys this time around.
So Magneto destroys the Death Star.
And he crushes it into the size of a tin can. Like, then brings it down through the atmosphere.
Like
and
spirit
then,
bomb style.
And then he crushes.
Yeah, he's sitting there for days like Goku spirit
trying
bomb
to,
style.
Trying to bring it in. And then they're like, who is that guy? Like the Sith Lord is like, who's this guy? And
Ian McKellen's like, I'm Gandalf, bitches! And then he turns into Gandalf.
Yeah, there you go. Sounds like a fun movie.
Yeah.
We could do Hobbit versus... Alright, let's move on. Actually, I'm out of... That was the last question I had there. It's been a while since I...
Listen to a crappy Stain song?
Then a lightning round with Drewster Cogburn.
Oh, very nice.
So is
this it? Did you throw it at me?
No. No, that was a game of
play. Oh.
So if you think you're ready.
What the fuck is this? Is this me as a robot? A zombie robot?
Oh yeah, that's you. No, that is a robot you have on. That's you as a future road warrior. Would you? Those are your like mirror. Goggles,
oh, like you're like Ghost in the Shell style. Like Ghost in the Shell style.
Yeah, and you got the blowtorch. So that's okay. Like you're protecting your eyes.
Awesome work.
And you got the spike things, and you got that spike. You're holding spike bat because while you're working, you're always in danger of being attacked from behind because it's a future crazy world. Yeah, exactly. So you got to be ready to go.
Awesome, that's cool.
So that's you. Okay, here we go. Lightning round for Drewster Cogburn. True. Start the clock.
Go.
Number one, what is best in life?
The three... weed, women, and food.
Number two?
I was going to say it a different way, and that would have been wrong.
Okay, number two, your favorite movie snack is?
I really don't have a favorite movie snack.
Number three, top three chewing gums, go.
Ooh, Bubble Yum, Trident, Juicy Fruit.
Is that ascending or descending?
Descending, top to bottom.
Okay. Number four, Earth Tones, yay or nay?
Yay.
Number five, come up with a haiku about food. Go. Just got. Come up with it. Just spit it out. You can do it.
Food is awesome. I cook it for a living. How many do I have to go?
Five left.
Learn to cook asshole.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
That didn't make any sense.
No, it was wonderful. Number six. Is art worthwhile?
Yes.
Number 7. What is your favorite type font?
Univers.
What?
Univers is Univers. It's like universe, but it's called Univers.
Okay. Number 8. Chicken wings with ranch or chicken ranch?
Chicken wings with ranch.
Number 9. Sean Connery or Michael Caine? Wait, let me rephrase that. Number 9. Sean Connery or Michael Caine?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. Number 10, let's play Kiss, Marry, Kill. You ready?
Yeah.
Tony the Tiger, Snap, Crackle, Pop. They're all one team. Gotta get all three of them in one. Or Trix the Rabbit. Kiss, Marry, Kill. Tony the Tiger, Snap, Crackle, Pop.
All right, so I'm going to marry Tony the Tiger just so I can ride him around town.
Fair enough.
So that means I'm gonna kiss Trix the Rabbit because he's crazy and it's probably a fun time.
Okay.
So you're gonna kill Snap, Crackle, Pop? I'm gonna kill Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Why? Because it's 3 kills for the price of 1.
Ooh, there you go. Lightning round with Drew Cogburn. Thank you very much, Drew.
Very welcome, sir.
We appreciate it. This beer is for you.
Awesome.
And that was episode 69 of Cinema Crispity. So thank you very much for listening. Thanks for downloading. We appreciate it. Thank you, Drew. We appreciate it, dude.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back episode 70. Nice round number.
Big 70.
Big 70. I got to find out how to write 70 in Roman numeral.
Sweet.
We're going to have, we should have on a guest. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. So got to, you know, confirm it, final confirm, but we should be good. We're going to have Chico from the Answer Pants show.
Very nice.
Next week, it'll be his first time on. We're looking forward to that. We've had Etchy on before and Ivan from Rampant Radio. Mm-hmm. So after we get Chico, then we got to get that dude Todd over here.
Yeah.
And then that'll be all the Answer Pants guys.
Yes.
And then we got to get you on their show.
Yeah, eventually. Yes. Eventually. Whenever I have some time.
Well, you never have any time.
I never have any time.
So we're going to have to make you force time down your throat.
Sweet.
So, thanks a lot, guys. We really appreciate
it. Sounds
painful. But that's a little time infusion.
Yeah.
Time infusions are rough. So, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Remember, you can email the show at cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Tweet the show at Crespediso. And remember, just like we said earlier, spread that love. Spread it.
Spread it far and spread it wide.
Spread it far, spread it wide. Let the people know how much you love the show. Speaking of forcing it down their throat, force our show down their throat.
Oh, don't do that. Don't be that guy.
Be that guy. We appreciate it. And since it's the end of the show, this is the part of the show where I let the ground with the soundboard for a second. So what do we got?
Because you think nobody's listening.
Oh, no.
I hate that.
How about that one?
That one I like.
You like that one? Yeah, you like that one. But you don't like the...
Oh, no.
No.
I like... you know which one I should be using? First, I know you like this one.
Yes, Slot Order. Dun, but something important just happened.
And we got to cut to it real quick.
Exactly.
But the one I like that I should be using more is Inception.
That's
the old Inception one. Why don't I use it more?
Maybe. Because there's nothing epic.
It says eagle, so I thought it would go, ha! Well, it's just some guy yelling eagle. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Circus is in town.
Circus is in town. All right, so pick an ending. Benny Hill or Looney Tunes?
Benny Hill.
All right, guys, peace out.
I just imagine people chasing you around while there's a couple of other stuff. Like, you know, a bunch of policemen are just chasing you around.
Yeah. Help me, Drew, help me, no, they got me!
It'd be funny.
Oh, my God!